Ross Tucker on CBS Sports Radio.
Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Those Rocket Mortgage Studios today in Canton, Ohio. Home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I am right now in the press box in Westwood One's broadcast booth watching them at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium put together the whole stage, getting it ready. Looks like they're getting ready for a rock concert here in Canton, Ohio. And then they're putting all the chairs out for everybody to be able to sit. This is quite the massive production. All day they've been doing this, and they're going to be doing it all day. I only have one more hour with you. Ross Tucker, the former NFL offensive lineman. I guess Jim likes me. He brings me on a bunch as a guest, which I love. You know the funniest thing about when Jim brings me on? The last four or five times, we've like barely talked about football. We almost always get into food. Speaking of which, by the way, I just housed a large green goddess Cobb salad from Panera that I got on my drive over here. I just housed that in 3.5 minutes. I might have a new Hall of Fame that I should be a part of. I don't think many people can eat a green goddess Cobb salad from Panera fashion I just did. Can I just tell you, by the way, if anybody's listening, I want Panera as a sponsor of my show. I love Panera. Like, if you could only eat at one fast food restaurant for the rest of your life, which one would it be? The answer is Panera, right? It's healthy, and they got variety. You can get sandwiches. You can get salads. You can get soups. Got to be Panera. You can't live that long if you've ate anywhere else. Like, you can't. Remember that show where the guy just kept going to McDonald's and supersizing? I think it's called Supersize Me or Supersize It or something. I remember watching that show. You couldn't live very long if you only ate at other places. I think you could live a long time only eating at Panera. Big Panera guy. Big Panera guy. Hit me up. Panera marketing guy. I know you're a big clone. I know you're watching or listening. Hit me up. Let's do a deal. I don't even need money. Just give me like an all access thing. All I can eat at Panera. A lifetime. The guy that got that Subway tattoo on his back and gets lifetime Subway subs. Let's work out a deal where you give me lifetime Panera. You pick twos. I want you pick twos. I'm into you pick twos. Thank you. I'm also into you guys being all over the show at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's always weird because on the one hand, there's other topics I could get into, right? Like I could talk about Roger Goodell, designated former New Jersey Attorney General Peter Harvey to hear the Watson appeal. Do you guys care anymore? I mean, we talked about it a lot yesterday. I just don't feel like you care that much. I think it's more interesting. It's interesting, by the way. I got some emails from you guys yesterday from some Jim Rome Show listeners. Tom in Colorado, he said, I understand your argument on how Deshaun Watson playing affects my life. It doesn't. But also works both ways. It won't affect my life if he never steps on the field again either. Nor Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or anyone else. The game will always go on. Tom in Colorado. That's fair, Tom. But I guess my question then is, why is it such a priority for you to have Deshaun Watson be suspended for longer if it doesn't affect your life? John Cook, who listened to the show yesterday and said he loves my podcast. Thank you, John. I love that a lot of the clones listen to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. That's amazing. I'm humbled. He wrote in saying that Deshaun Watson should get 32 games. 32 games. Where did you come up with that number? He said 6 games? This past week, another player was given 6 games for using drugs. He said, I will not be watching Cleveland games. My support of the NFL is starting to decline. I am upset with how Aaron dealt with COVID protocols. Green Bay is my team, but I noticed last year I just didn't bother to watch Green Bay. Very weird. NFL was my sport, and yet I am planning to watch less because of these actions or lack of action taken. You know, more power to you, I guess, John, and that's how you feel. I've never cared enough about a social issue to have it affect my football fandom. Now, I'm in a little bit of a different situation because this is what I do for a living, right? You know, I do the Eagles preseason games on TV. First one's a week from the night. It's going to be fun. I do college games for CBS Sports Network, including all the Army home games, which are amazing. And I do a lot of NFL games for Westwood One, which is why they're letting me use their booth, which I really appreciate. But I've never had, like, the Kaepernick thing. Like, there's never anybody's done anything that's going to be enough for me to not watch. Now, maybe that's because it's my job. I don't know. But I don't know, man. I guess I wonder and I question how many people actually it really does affect your fandom. And it he says he's a Packers fan, but he doesn't watch the Packers because of Aaron Rodgers lying about getting vaccinated? Wow. To me, you either then really care about people being vaccinated or you're really not that much of a Packers fan. Let's go to David in Green Bay, who I'm assuming is at 855-212-4227. What's up, David?
Hey, Ross. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Awesome. What's up?
Well, I've been a big fan of yours. I've heard you on I actually off today, but normally I hear you early on CBS Sports Talk Radio with Amy Lawrence, and I guess you guys have quite a connection, which is very cool. And enjoy a lot of your talk and your banter. I got to ask, only because I've been in radio, I'm retired now. Don't throw your producer, guys. Did he misspell Tuscan or Tucson, or maybe did you just misread it? Other than that, on the quarterback thing, I mean, I'm a Green Bay guy. I live under the shadow of Lambeau, and I've lived here for 60-plus years. I hope that you're as open-minded about bringing down Plunkett as next year, I believe, and I might be wrong. I believe your quarterback from your team, Eli Manning. Why don't you share his touchdown numbers, his interception numbers, and was he ever a top five quarterback? And I hope that, you know, if he deserves it, he gets it. But I honestly believe, and I would say this just as a football fan, Jim Plunkett deserves to be in the NFL Hall of Fame, and that's a guy here 16 years waiting for a guy like Leroy Butler to finally make his mark. Thanks for the time. Wish you a great day. Go Pack, go.
Yeah, I appreciate David. Thank you very much for the call. And I was not throwing Emmanuel Burberry, I should say, under the bus at all. He's the man. He's been awesome in every way. I think it's autocorrect, bro. I think it's autocorrect. But when I'm reading a text message and it says Bill and Tuscan, I got to say Bill and Tuscan. And then I got to ask him, where's Tuscan? Because I've never heard of Tuscan. So those things happen. As for Eli Manning, that's not my guy. I don't know where you got that from. I played in Washington, Dallas, Buffalo, New England, and Cleveland. So I never played with Eli. Do you know his real first name is Elijah? E-L-I-S-H-A. I never knew that. Elijah. I didn't even know that's the way people spell Elijah. I was today days old when I realized Eli Manning's real first name is E-L-I-S-H-A. In fact, if I didn't know that that was for Eli Manning, I would think it was Alicia. I would think it's Alicia. That's Elijah? So he's a four-time Pro Bowler. And remember, Jim Plunkett's a zero-time Pro Bowler. So if you're a four-time Pro Bowler, That means at least 4 years, people thought you were one of the six best quarterbacks or whatever. Two-time Super Bowl MVP. His record is exactly 500 as well. 117 and 117. 366 touchdowns. 244 interceptions. I think the big thing for Eli Manning is beating Tom Brady, Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl twice. Not once, but twice. Twice the Giants got him. Twice Eli got him. I think Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I don't think he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. That is really interesting to me. Very interesting whether or not he gets in the Hall first ballot. I don't think he will. There's got to be some distinction, right? They got to prove a point. Like, if Eli Manning's a first ballot Hall of Famer, then what's Brady? The super-duper first ballot Hall of Famer? There should be, like, it'd be comical if they had any debate or discussion about Tom Brady. I might ask Dan Pompey that. Like, if somebody, like, that's just crazy obvious comes up for the Hall of Fame, like Tom Brady, do you even waste 2 seconds talking about it? I wouldn't. Why waste 2 seconds talking about it? Let's keep it rolling, though, because I want to get to a couple more of you before I get to Dan Pompey, who's a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. So hopefully he's been listening and listening to some of your pitches. How about Eric in Colorado Springs? What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, Ross? How you doing?
Good. I got a quick question. I'm going to be doing a game out at Air Force this year for CBS Sports Network. I forget who they're playing. Maybe New Mexico, but I'm doing a game out there. Where is there like a brewery in Colorado Springs or somewhere I should definitely go to get some beers the night before?
Yeah, you should definitely find the New Belgium Brewing Company. They got the best selection you're going to find. They got the fat tires and all that. They're definitely
I thought that was in Fort Collins. It's not in Fort Collins?
Yeah, but it's not a long drive, and it's worth the drive. It's a fun drive too, and the people are great. And just make sure you bring something to cover your nose from the smell from all the cows.
How far is it from Colorado Springs to Fort Collins?
Like about an hour.
Oh, dude, Eric, do you have anything in Colorado Springs? An hour? I don't have like an hour to go drive for a beer.
Well, in Colorado Springs, I guess that you could go to you could go down to the Brickyard or Brick House or something like that. I don't really know.
I'll Google it. Brick. I got it. I'll Google it. Brick. All right, okay. Eric, who's your Hall of Fame? You got a Hall of Fame guy or you got something that you're in the Hall of Fame for?
If I'm in the Hall of Fame, I'm definitely not discussing it on air. I'll tell you that. my dude's definitely. I want to see what you think about Randall Cunningham being in there. I mean, I know he wasn't the best running or quarterback of all time by any means, but he's definitely a four-time Pro Bowler, a first team, second team, All Pro, and he's just a household name. I mean, if you think of anybody past the age of 30 knows who Randall Cunningham is. So I just wanted to see what you thought about him getting in.
So, Eric, you probably don't know this. He's my favorite NFL player ever. Did you know that?
I didn't.
No, so I grew up, and I appreciate the call, Eric. I grew up in Reading, Pennsylvania, more specifically Wyomissing, and it's an hour west of Philly. So I was a diehard Eagles fan growing up, which, by the way, is really weird because then I end up playing for Washington and Dallas, and I played against the Eagles a bunch of times, never played for them. But growing up, Randall Cunningham was the man. Like, he was the guy. He was the star. His rookie year was 85. My dad took me to a game at the Vet. And Ron Jaworski was still the starting quarterback. But when it was third and long, they would bring in Randall Cunningham, and he would just run around or throw the ball and make something happen. It was wild. Absolutely wild. And then he obviously had that amazing stretch in the late 80s, early 90s, until he got that bad injury in 91, which hurt him. But I'm a huge Randall Cunningham guy. Love him as a player. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think Randall Cunningham's a Hall of Famer. Look, I'm in the Hall of Fame of getting Randall Cunningham's autograph. I used to go to Westchester, Pennsylvania, to get his autograph to training camp. I got his autograph so many times one day that he said, "How many autographs have I given you?" But I had like a bunch of his cards. I wanted them all signed. I don't know. I'm aggressive. So that might be something else I can go in the Hall of Fame for. Randall Cunningham autograph collector. I had a bunch. I sold them now. I don't know. I gave them away. I don't know. But I'm a huge Randall Cunningham guy. He's not a Hall of Famer. I actually don't think Plunkett is, and I think Eli Manning probably is, but I don't think it's a no-brainer for Elijah. I don't think it is. What is a no-brainer is getting a chance to talk to a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter like Dan Pompey. It's crazy. I didn't realize how many studs aren't in the Hall of Fame. It is hard to get in the Hall of Fame. We'll talk to Dan about this year's class, and we'll get Dan's thought. I'm going to ask Dan about some of the guys that you guys brought up and see if there's somebody that he really has in mind that thinks needs to be in but isn't. I'm rocking and rolling here, having a blast. Thank you guys so much for welcoming me with open arms. I really appreciate it here. It's Ross Tucker filling in for Jim here on the Jim Rome Show, CBS Sports Radio. Ask the pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Ross Tucker filling in for Jim Rome. The second day I'm doing it. I hope you guys are enjoying it. I hope you're liking it. The emails and tweets I've gotten have been awesome. I appreciate them. Please tell whoever, I don't know who makes these decisions, maybe it's Jim, tell whoever that you'd love to have me back, because I'd love to be back. It's so fun to be a guest on with Jim and then actually be the one hosting. This has been an absolute blast these 2 days. I'm doing it today from Canton, Ohio, the home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm literally in the press box, the broadcast booth, at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. And we've been talking about the Hall of Fame a lot today. In particular, I've been allowing you guys, the clones, to make your pitch for who isn't in the Hall of Fame that should be. Let's actually talk to a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter and a guy that has been for a long time. In fact, he has been writing about the NFL for almost 4 decades. His stuff is awesome. He's one of my favorite pro football writers. He does different stuff, unique stuff, long-form stuff. He does it for The Athletic now. You should check him out on Twitter, at Dan Pompey, P-O-M-P-E-I. Dan, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, it's a pleasure to get to talk with you, Ross. I appreciate you having me on.
You know, so Dan, this has been a learning experience for me, which I'm sure you can relate to, because I've had the Jim's awesome callers and people on email at rostucker.com and tweeting at me at RossTuckerNFL, making me pitches for who they think should be in the Hall of Fame that isn't. And I guess I knew, Dan, that there were a bunch of guys that should be in that aren't or that are good players. I had no idea how many really, really good players. I mean, there have been so many calls where I'm like, yeah, that guy probably should be in, but they're not. It's tough, Dan.
Oh, I'm telling you, it really is tough. And I'll tell you, when it gets even tougher is when you're dealing with the senior candidates, which we've actually, I'm a member of the senior committee as well, and we've got a meeting coming up on that, and we're looking at some of those guys right now, because you're talking about guys who've been passed over in the modern era candidate list for 25 years. And, you know, there's a bunch of them out there that are really worthy. You know, you look at the reasons they were passed over and, you know, what they did to belong in the Hall of Fame. And it's a great challenge every year. And, you know, you have to look at these candidates in as many ways as you can and consider all the different ways that they contributed and, you know, what defines greatness. And it's not easy. You know, you always end up, I think the focus often is on the ones that you left out instead of the ones you got in.
That's really interesting. I didn't realize it was 25 years. So some of the guys that have been mentioned, like Darren Woodson, they are still eligible as a modern candidate. It's 25 years for the modern guys, and then you go into the seniors?
You know, it's 20. I believe it's 20, but there's 5 years before you're eligible. So it's 25 years after your retirement, then you go into the senior pool.
So, Dan, can you refresh my memory? Because I know they changed it a couple years ago. It's still 5 modern era guys each year, but then they increased the seniors and the contributors, right?
Well, this year they did. Yes, this year they decided to put 3 seniors in. You know, there's been a lot of talk on the committee that we feel like there's just a real backlog of qualified senior candidates. And, you know, we tried to address that a little bit in the centennial class in 2000 when we had, you know, a bigger class than usual of seniors. We got a bunch of them in. But, you know, they're still out there. I mean, we've got the finalist list now for our meeting in a couple weeks. And these are the guys who are on the list. You've got Ken Anderson, Matt Seebohn, Randy Gradishar, Chuck Howley, Cecil Isbell, Joe Klecko, Bob Kuchenberg, Eddie Meter, Tommy Novus, Ken Riley, Sterling Sharp, and Everson Walls. And, you know, almost any one of these guys could be a Hall of Famer. Maybe all of them will be at some point.
You know, it's really interesting. I've gotten a bunch of calls on Jim Plunkett. And he's the one, Dan, that I'm saying no on. Most of the other guys I say yes on. It's you probably realize this. Raiders fans are unreal. I mean, they're like relentless calling about Lester Hayes. You know, they finally got their guy Cliff Branch in, but they're very outspoken about Plunkett as well. I don't know. I don't see it. What do you see from this Hall of Fame class, Dan? The group of guys going in this year, who jumps out to you? Obviously, they're all going in, and so they all jump out to you on some level. But if you can, just share a story or two or a thought or two on any of the guys that are going in this year.
Well, to me, you know, I think if you had to say, you know, which player reached the, you know, the greatest pinnacle of performance of the inductees this year, I'd say it's probably Tony Boselli, you know, a guy who was just a dominator at left tackle and, you know, really was just the best against the best and really was just, you know, a model of excellence. He had to wait a long time to get in the Hall of Fame, though, because he had a shorter career. So, of course, he played in Jacksonville, didn't play on Super Bowl winning teams or teams that made a lot of noise even for the most part. So, you know, he was probably hurt a little by all that, but boy, what a great player. And you know, that's not to diminish these other guys because all of them obviously, you know, are worthy Hall of Famers. But, you know, that's one thing that stands out a little to me.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you're just trying to kiss up to me or what, Dan, but that's why I'm here. Tony invited me. I'm going to his party tomorrow night. That's why I'm here. And we worked together on Westwood One, but also I've been very outspoken about Tony's inclusion because when I was in college, you know, 97 to 2000, Dan, we would watch the NFL and that's who we wanted to be. Yeah, that's who we all wanted to be. Any college offensive lineman, you wanted to be Tony Boselli because he was the best guy in the late 90s. I personally thought he was a better player than Ogden, than Orlando Pace. I thought Walter Jones was unbelievable. And I think maybe because their teams didn't have as much success or the markets they were in, for some reason I felt like Tony and Walter got overshadowed by Pace and Ogden, who were both unbelievable players, don't get me wrong. But, man, you talk to left tackles, and they'll tell you from that era, man, I wish Tony never got hurt because he just was that good. So I'm glad that you brought him up. What I think is interesting about Tony, Dan, I want to get your thoughts on this. Bruce Smith, former teammate of mine, issued a statement basically condemning the fact that Tony's performance against him had been highlighted so much to bolster Tony's case. I was curious what your reaction or thoughts on there. Do you think Bruce has a point?
You know, I don't. I mean, you know, Tony Boselli didn't get in the Hall of Fame because of his games against Bruce Smith. I mean, I think that helped. But, you know, you're talking about a body of work that was really just, you know, a deep, thorough example of success. You know, I don't know why Bruce said those things, but, you know, I would think he'd be happy for Tony Boselli because Tony Boselli is worthy, and he's deserving of having a bust next to Bruce Smith and all the other great Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I thought that was bizarre. I played with Bruce in Washington. I thought it was weird. It almost makes him come off kind of, I don't know. I thought that was a little bit weird.
Thing is, you know, if you're Bruce and someone is holding you up as a standard for, you know, hey, if someone even played well against him, I mean, that's a compliment to Bruce, too.
Yeah. You know, yes. Take it as a compliment, not a dig.
Yeah, which, you know, hey, I guess he's, you know, maybe he's at the point where he feels like he doesn't, you know, he's above compliments or something because of all that he did and his greatness. But I don't know. I'm with you. It was kind of a bizarre thing.
All right, so here's what I've been doing, Dan, throughout the show. And I want to give you the opportunity as well. I've been asking all of Jim's great listeners to pitch me on a guy that's not in the Hall of Fame, but that they feel really strongly about that should be in. And I know you're a voter, but that doesn't preclude you from having strong feelings about particular players and being able to articulate those. Is there a guy that really bugs you, Dan, or a guy that you really feel strongly about that you pitch every year should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, I'm going to talk about two guys here. One briefly, you know that I'm a Chicago guy, Ross, and I gave the presentation last year for Devin Hester in his first year of eligibility, and I continue to feel very strongly about him as you know, the greatest return man in history, and a player who did things that never have been done before, never will be done again, probably, especially with the way that the rules have changed in his aspect of the game. And a guy who I think, you know, when you talk about someone who stands out above the rest, you talk about Devin Hester, a guy who impacted games, a guy who really forced opponents to do things they did not want to do, and a guy who really could not be stopped when he was on. The other guy I'll tell you a little about, you know, this is a little like the Tony Boselli case, and that's Sterling Sharp. I mentioned him earlier when I said he's a finalist for the senior committee this year. You know, you're talking about a guy who had a shortened career. He only played 9 years because he had a neck injury. Boselli, of course, played even fewer years than that. He really only 6 full seasons, I believe, with Boselli. But Sharp, when he played, you know, he was clearly the second best receiver in the NFL to Jerry Rice, who was the best of all time, probably, unless you want to go back to Don Hutson and have that debate. But you know, you're talking about a guy who was on a level that no other receiver was on, really, other than Rice, and he played in that era, there were some great wide receivers, some Hall of Fame wide receivers who were on the field as well. And I think, you know, I just talked with Mark Carrier, who used to play for the Bears safety and played for the Lions, played for Washington. And he told me that, you know, if he played today, he'd be the number one receiver in the league, no question. So I think that's a guy that we really need to look at. You know, in recent years, we have gotten some of these guys in who had shortened careers, like Tony, like Terrell Davis, like Ken Easley. You know, it is something that I think detracts from the whole thing, because you want someone who checks every box. But at some point, you have to say greatness was greatness.
I will never forget Sterling crying when Shannon said, "I'm the only Pro Football Hall of Famer that can say my brother was better than me." Unbelievable. One of my favorite speech moments in Hall of Fame history. Dan, thank you so much for the time. Keep up the great work. Please check out Dan on social media, at Dan Pompey. That way you can know every time he writes something new and extraordinary for The Athletic. Thank you, Dan.
My pleasure, Ross. Thank you.
There he is, Dan Pompey. That was awesome. So he went with Devin Hester and Sterling Sharp. It's interesting that the Packers fan, did the Packers fan mention Sterling Sharp? I can't remember. I want to close it out. Here's what I'm going to do. Hit me up with your tweets. I'm going to try to get to a call or two, but I'm going to go rapid fire through your tweets and just say yes or no. At Ross Tucker NFL was my Twitter handle. I'm going to say yes or no. You pitch me on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL, on who you think should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to read your tweet and then say yes or no. Should be fun after Mike McCann gets you all updated on everything going on around the world of sports here with this update on the Jim Rome Show. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Last segment for me on day two of filling in for Jim Rome here on the Jim Rome Show. Hopefully it's not my last time. I've had a blast. You guys are awesome. I'm not surprised, right? I mean, every time I come on as a guest, Jim references my gift-giving website, myfrontpagestory.com, and you guys crash it, which is proof of just how powerful Jim's audience is. I always say that. Like, if you're looking to advertise, you should advertise on Jim's show. And I have proof, because Jim basically advertises for myfrontpagestory.com every time I come on, and you guys destroy it in every way. You crash it, and then you all make orders. It's amazing. That's why this is the jungle. That's why you guys are who you are. Even just looking at all the tweets I'm getting at Ross Tucker NFL from people that want me to say yay or nay. The problem is, if you just give me a name without the credentials, maybe that's the better way to do it. Maybe that is the better way to do it. Just give me the name and not the credentials, and I'll say in my head if I think he is a Hall of Famer or not. As a reminder, if you liked what you hear, I'd appreciate it if you check me out any social media platform. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. So that's Twitter, it's Instagram, it's Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. It's even TikTok, I think, at Ross Tucker NFL. Or you can always just go to RossTucker.com. And check out any of my shows. I think you'd enjoy them. Ross Tucker Football Podcast, only 30 minutes. It's a former player, me, obviously, giving you everything you need to know about the NFL in 30 minutes or less, Monday through Friday. So plenty of room for you to listen to something else when you're not listening to the man, Jim Rome, here for 3 hours. Let's get to Chris, who's in Texas. What's up, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on the air, bro. What's up?
Well, I want to give you my picks for the Hall of Fame. It's actually two of them. I don't have the stats right out in front of me, but one of them was the only co-MVP of the Super Bowl. and that was Too Mean Harvey Martin, and then his teammate, Too Tall Jones.
Harvey Martin and Too Tall Jones. All right, let's get to Harvey Martin first, okay? Played 11 years. Oh, great. Somehow I lost the internet. That's not good. I can't look up Harvey Martin's stats right now because they just kicked me off the internet here in the press box. But played 11 years. Harvey Martin does not sound like a Hall of Famer to me. Like, co-MVP of a Super Bowl is great. The Hall of Fame's not for a one-game thing. Too Tall Jones is a little bit more interesting to me than Harvey Martin. Let me look up Harvey Martin. Okay, four-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro. He's on the All-70s team. Okay. All right. Now, the 70s is before my time, but that's interesting. Had 114 sacks. That's not a bad argument there. I appreciate the call, Chris. That's not a bad argument at all. What about Ed Jones? Is he in as Ed Jones or Ed Too Tall Jones? You know what? Ed Jones does not come up as Too Tall Jones. I think he's in as Too Tall Jones. That's amazing. That is awesome. Like, I'm looking up Pro Football Reference. So Too Tall Jones. Now he was 6'9". That is unreal. Three-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro, but he played forever, 74 to 89. I mean, the guy played 16 years. So it's funny because on the one hand, I'm a big believer in guys like Tony Boselli and Sterling Sharp, because I don't think guys should be hurt for their Hall of Fame candidacy because of injury issues. If you were great and you were great for at least, 3 to 5 years or whatever it is, at least 5 years you were great, then you deserve to be in. But by the same token, I appreciate the call, Chris. By the same token, you play 16 years, bro. I can't even tell you how impressive that is. I played 7 years. I think I started 25 games, played in 45. I know what my body feels like. I know just sitting here doing the Jim Rome show, these guys that teed it up, he started 203 football games, did Too Tall Jones. 200 football games in the trenches. That, and by the way, he was 6'9". Guys are probably going for his legs and stuff all the time. It is very, very impressive. I don't think either one of those guys are Hall of Famers. I think they're Hall of Very Good. I would give Too Tall Jones the edge over a guy like Harvey Martin, but maybe that's just because I'm biased because I saw Too Tall Jones play more. How about Rodney in Michigan to wrap it up? What's up, Rodney?
Hey, how's it going, Ross?
Great. What's up?
Not much. I got a couple names for you. One, Randall Cunningham.
And it's funny. Somebody brought him up earlier, Rodney, before you were listening. He's my favorite football. He's my favorite NFL player ever. Ever.
Oh, yeah.
I was a big Eagles fan growing up. So he's my favorite player.
When I went to Vegas, I actually went to his church.
Oh, that's awesome. How was it?
It was good. He actually has the same birthday as me, too, and my kids.
He just resigned, by the way, as the Raiders team chaplain. He was evidently the Raiders team chaplain.
And my other guy is Otis Anderson.
Ooh, I've heard other people stump for Otis Anderson.
He's got 10,000 yards. He's a Super Bowl MVP. And he played for the god-awful Cardinals for forever. And then sat on the bench for the Giants for a little bit and then gets stuck in the Super Bowl and he wins the MVP.
15 years. Rodney, I appreciate the call. 15 years in the NFL as a running back. That just sounds crazy now, doesn't it? Like, it's crazy that in 1990, at age 33, a guy whose rookie year was 1979 was dominating the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl to win MVP. That's crazy, isn't it? Super Bowl 25 MVP. 6'2", 220. Two-time Super Bowl champ. See, the problem is he only made the Pro Bowl twice and the All-Pro once. And one of those was his rookie year. He was All-Pro and Pro Bowl his rookie year. And then he made the Pro Bowl the next year and then never again. I think you got to make the Pro Bowl more than twice. I think you do. I just think you have to be in the Pro Bowl more than twice. Taking a look, let's go to some of your tweets. Dave McDonald says Richmond Webb. Man, he was really good. I don't know. I'd have to see how long he played and how many Pro Bowls and stuff he made. Roger Craig, Kelly Wood, wants Roger Craig, first running back to go 1,000. I think Roger Craig is Hall of very good. I'm not sure Roger Craig's Hall of Famer. Nicholas Lowe says Steve Tasker. I'm a believer in Steve Tasker. I mean, think about all the pro. I mean, he was the guy. We don't even. How many other special teamers, not returners? How many other special teamers can you even mention other than Steve Tasker? I mean, there's not many. Carlin Prescott says, awesome job filling in for the Hall of Famer Jim Rome the last 2 days. That's a great point. I am at the Hall of Fame filling in for the Hall of Famer. Christopher Lodeck wants Moose Johnston in. I just saw Moose last weekend in Cape May, New Jersey, at the Jersey Shore. I don't know that he's a Hall of Famer. Carl Mecklenburg, six-time Pro Bowler, four-time first-team All-Pro. He was the guy on those Denver defenses. I'm down. I'm down with Carl Mecklenburg. I'm down with all of you guys. What an awesome couple of days. Enjoy the weekend. I'm 1 hour away from a daddy soda. Hopefully you guys are as well. It's the Jim Rome Show. Have a great weekend, everybody.